In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The fulfillment of the promise of our salvation began with Joachim and Anna. This is what St. Gregory Palamas says when he speaks during the celebration of the feast of the falling asleep of the Theotokos, the Mother of God, when the one who gave birth to Christ died. We celebrate that feast during this time. Gregory Palamas says that the beginning of our salvation begins with God's promise to Joachim and Anna that they would have a child, a daughter, even though they were very advanced in age. One of the interesting things about life is that we are most able to have children when we are too young to be wise parents. God, in his wisdom, I think, intends the process of parenting to be a process of growth and development, not just for our children, but for ourselves. We grow through others. We are who we are through others. We are not isolated individuals, separate from all other human beings. We feel that way because of the fall, because life is not as it was meant to be, but it has been restored to being as it was meant to be by God. That is our salvation. And the promise of that salvation, St. Gregory says, began when God made this promise to Joachim and Anna, that they would have a child, and that this child would be the one that God the Father begat before all ages and outside of time. It would be that same one. It would be the Son of God. One Father, God, one Mother, a human being, and the Son of God would come into the world. All of this was part of the promise to Joachim and Anna, according to St. Gregory. It reminds you of the promise that he made to Abraham. But God didn't go into that kind of detail with Abraham. And it may be that he didn't explicitly go into all of that detail with Joachim and Anna. But St. Gregory Palamas, looking back on all that was included in this promise to Joachim and Anna, says that this is the content of the promise that was given. And he says that the fulfillment of that promise, the birth of Mary, who would be the Theotokos, Theo, God, Tokos, birth giver, the birth giver of God. The accomplishment of all of that is the fulfillment of the promise that he made to Joachim and Anna. But we don't have a very good grip yet, even today, on the content of the fulfillment of that promise, the birth of the one who was going to be the Mother of God, the one who would give birth to the Son that had been begotten by the Father before all ages. There is, in the readings that we do for the feast day itself, that point where someone in the crowd, as Jesus has been doing miraculous things and saying incredible words of wisdom, she cries out, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked." And he responds, "Yes, yes, that's true. But blessed is the one who hears the word of God and keeps it." And in both cases, he is referring to his mother, to Mary, to the Theotokos, because she heard the word of God and kept it. She kept it in her heart, after hearing the announcement from Gabriel, and she kept the word of God, who is Jesus the Christ, the incarnate Son of God, the incarnate Word of God. She kept that word in her womb for 9 months. She received, she heard the word of God, and she kept it. And she didn't just keep it until he was born forth from her body. He came forth from her body, but he never left her heart. And when we say heart, we have to remind ourselves we're not talking about an emotional feeling. We're talking about the physical and spiritual center of who we are. The place where we meet God, the place where we meet Christ, the place where Christ says all things that we say and do come out of the heart, either the heart of goodwill or the heart of bad will. That place, the heart, the center of who and what we are as a human being, that is where she kept him, and he never left that place. Still hasn't. When a woman grows a child within her body, there is a bonding and an intimacy unlike any other bond. And that bond was a bond between this woman and God. His flesh, the flesh of Jesus Christ, was knit within the womb of his mother Mary, just the way it is within the womb of any other mother. She kept him and gave him of her body to be his body, and a union between God and our humanity that he chose to make and Mary accepted to participate in was woven within her. The significance of that is not isolated to that one person. God's intention was to overcome the disunion between himself and us. His intention was to overcome the disunion between all of us. A new intimacy between our humanity and God was woven together in the womb of the Mother of God. And that intimacy doesn't stop with her. She is not some kind of separate individual. The point was to overcome all of that separation. God chose to come into the world and become one of us in order to unite ourselves to him. We always have the choice. We can say no, we can remain separate if we choose. She could have, and we still could too. But we can also do the other and accept to be included in this new humanity where God's divinity and our humanity are one in Jesus the Christ. Through Christ, an intimacy of our humanity began that has never ended. We call it the church. The apostles became part of that oneness. There was a physical oneness begun in the womb of Mary, given birth, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, incarnate in the world. He brought them into that oneness. He made them part of his own body, his divine and human body. And that's how the church began. And all of the saints, and all of the believers, and all of those who love God enough to stop living a life separate from him, but to die to that life and desire to be one with all other human beings through Christ. As we do in the struggle, the spiritual effort called marriage, as we do in the struggle, the spiritual effort of individual lovers of God, men and women who make that the content of their life. Whether we do it within the context of marriage or whether we do it in the context of the whole church, the body we call the church, the body of Christ, because there is that union that was woven in the womb of Mary and was born as the unique one, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, that union, that physical and spiritual union, makes us part of the body of Christ. And so there is no Christian who is ever alone, in isolation, as an individual believer who has to speak to God as though it were across some vast space, some chasm. The intimacy between our humanity and God's divinity, woven in the womb of the Theotokos, is what we are invited into the oneness that is the living body of Christ. St. Gregory Palamas says something that is so foreign from our life in a world of radical individualism, if we knew a little more history, we would realize it doesn't even go all the way back to the Reformation. It's only a couple of hundred years old. And before that time, before 200 or 300 years ago, the way we imagine ourselves as isolated individuals, each completely separated, psychologically, emotionally, and every way from everyone else, it wasn't even conceivable. Even in the West, you don't have to go to the Orthodox East to have a sense of the oneness of humanity that we have now lost. But as Orthodox Christians, we must reclaim that understanding of the content of our faith and the reality of what it is to be a Christian. St. Gregory Palamas says that we can only be as we are meant to be through others. We grow through others. And some of those others are saints, living saints, saints who have fallen asleep that we are still united to through that bond that was knit in the womb of the Theotokos. We are still united to the lives of all of those saints. And we ascend through others. We ascend to where we can be the human beings we were created to be and live the lives that we were created to be through others. We don't have to try to accomplish our spiritual life as though God never gave Joachim and Anna that promise of one who would be born in whose body his own only begotten Son and our humanity would be knit into one. That promise has been accomplished. Christ has been born. Our humanity has been united to the divinity of God in him. And all of the saints for the last 2,000 years have united their lives to God through him. We are not limited to whatever we can accomplish spiritually in absolute isolation without all of those others. We cannot accomplish very much in that kind of way. And so, when we think of the Theotokos, the one we say death could not hold, because our spiritual life is all a matter of trampling down death by the death of Christ, we say death could not hold her. Death cannot hold us in any of our missings of the mark, in any of our sins. None of those things can drag us down and keep us from oneness with God if we choose it, if we accept it, if we turn our backs on that radical isolation where we are determined to accomplish whatever, as much or little as we are going to accomplish, alone and in isolation, so that we can be proud of ourselves. That has got to end. The new life, the life of the Theotokos, the life of the saints, our life, it begins with humility. And that pride of self-isolation has got to end. That's a death that we should accept joyfully. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.